Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on Iran Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, let's talk about or delve into some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And let me begin this episode with this question, Sheikh. Which types of marine animals are halal to eat?
Well, this is a very good question. A lot of people outside the country, Iran, for example, live nearby sea and they want to know about what kind of seafoods are halal for them, or what kind of seafoods they find in the market and they can buy and can consume. That's a pretty important question,
yes.
Of course. According to His Eminence, among the seafoods or the sea animals, only scaled fish are halal, okay? And shrimps are also halal. And
but they're not scaled.
Yeah, they are not scaled. Shrimps are an exception.
Yes.
When we talk of scaled fish, there are many species of scaled fish, okay? And some of the fish might not have scales at the if you look at them, but if you ask the fishermen whether this fish is among the from the category of scaled fish or not,
yes,
they will say, okay, it is from the category of scaled fish. The scales are gone, but they're still considered to be scaled or scaly fish.
Yes.
Therefore, it is permissible to eat and to consume such fish. And let's also tell, I should say that that Sunni Muslims eat non-scaled fish as well. They eat prawns, they eat lobsters, they eat
oysters, crabs,
and these things. I've been there to many places. I've seen them eating these things. According to them, all of these seafoods are halal.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say there could be some exceptions. But Sunni Muslims, okay, it's very much important to make sure that the fish you eat, even if you are living in a Muslim country, it's necessary to make sure that the fish or the seafood you eat is halal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you do not eat, for example, clams instead of shrimps, lobsters instead of some other kind of sea animals, okay? And scaled fish also, there are many, many varieties of scaled fish and they are available everywhere.
Yes.
If you live in a non-Muslim country, let's say you live in India, okay? India is a place where you barely find any halal meat, okay? You cannot slaughter cows or oxen because fearing the Hindus, you cannot slaughter them openly. And
yes,
even you don't have any, for example, beef market,
yes,
there in India, because the Hindus do not allow cows to be slaughtered. So if you want to eat meat because you are starving, okay,
yes,
because of not having meat, so make sure you eat fish instead of beef, okay?
Yes.
Beef is halal in
exactly
itself, but you cannot find it. So in order to just have your some kind of meat, you can eat scaled fish. And even if you get it from a Hindu, that it's okay. It's okay. As long as it's scaled, it is halal to eat.
Well, there are two questions that cross my mind, Sheikh.
Yes.
About the scaled fish.
Yes.
First of all, regarding the scaled fish,
yeah,
you said that they need to be scaled so that it would be actually open to us, I mean, as halal food,
yes,
right? But, you know, some fish might have scales, but they're only seen with, which we call it, with, you know, some kind of technology,
yeah,
right? Like, for example, microscope or something. Do you mean with naked eyes that you will be able to see the scales and that would make the fish halal for you? This is
I think scales are something you don't need to use a microscope or something to find the scales.
Uh-huh.
Okay? The scales might fall off sometimes, and the fish might lose its scales. Okay, if the fisherman called the fish to be scaled and it, to be from the category of scaled fish, mm-hmm. that's enough. Okay.
I see. Okay.
Yes.
I'll ask the second question that crossed my mind after the break. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program, Islamic Laws on Iran Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Well, Sheikh Javid, I promised our dear audience actually to ask one of the other questions related to your words before the break, and when you were talking about the halal marine animals or sea animals. Let's say you mentioned that, for example, if you live in a non-Muslim dominated area, like, for example,
non-Muslim
areas, right? Like, for example, the Indian subcontinent that you gave as an example. You said that some meat, well, are not available in the market. You don't have the beef market, and they don't allow it there. So it's safer, actually, to go to the sea market and find some scaled fish over there, right?
Right.
But do you have to investigate how the scaled fish are caught? Because we know that, you know, the fish should be out of the water and they die in the dirt, for example, out of the water.
Yes.
And if they are caught, for example, in nets or caught in another way, which they die in the water, that would not make it halal for us, right?
Yes, you're
so
right.
So what about this? Do we have to investigate, for example, how they catch the fish?
Well, the same question can apply to fish found in Muslim country and in a Muslim country.
In the Muslim countries, so you give the benefit of the doubt.
You give the benefit of the doubt.
Because they are Muslims they know the rules.
Yes, you're
but in the non-Muslim areas, you can't give it the benefit of the doubt.
Do you have
to keep investigating about it?
You are right. The thing is that fish are generally caught in large numbers.
Yes.
Okay? And the fisherman does not kill the fish inside the water with something. Okay. They are usually, and for example, in 95% of the cases, the fish are brought out and they are let to die on the deck of the fish or on outside the water.
Right.
So that's why for that very strong probability, we are allowed by the Sharia to eat the fish that are sold in non-Muslim market, be that Muslim non-Muslim market, a Christian non-Muslim market, or a Hindu non-Muslim market, it is okay to eat the fish that has scaled.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws. Stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa Ali.
Welcome back to the program, Islamic Laws on IranRadio.ir, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javid, somebody asked us, my father died, and I don't know if he had any khums here or not. Is the inheritance from our late father subject to khums? In other words, does the individual have to pay, or should he pay the khums on the part of his or her father?
You know, generally speaking, according to all religious scholars, inheritance is not liable for khums. You know, it's not necessary to pay khums on what an individual inherits from his father, mother, or any other relatives. Okay, there are different possibilities. Okay, if, for example, you are not sure that he owes khums,
yes,
or his property is subject to khums, you do not have to pay khums because you're not sure. But if you are sure that your father used to pay khums and he failed to pay khums from the property you have inherited, or the asset that you that is available now in his bank account, in this case, because you're sure, you must pay his debt to khums like his other debts at first, and then of course distribute the rest among the heirs. That's the point.
Okay. If the first income of the new year occurs with a time interval after the end of the khums year, can the beginning of the new khums year be set as the date of the first income?
Religious authorities, as far as I know, has permitted their followers to change the date of the khums according to their first income. And whenever it is convenient and it's possible for them to pay khums, like for example, if they want to change their khums date from the 1st of Muharram to the 1st of Rabiul Awal, or from the 1st of Muharram to the 1st of Nowruz according to the Persian calendar, so it is permissible. And His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei also maintains that there's no problem in shifting the date of khums to some other dates.
I see. Well, Shostakovich, what is the duty if one doubts whether khums is due on the capital with which he earns his living or not?
If the original capital is from his income and no khums has been paid on it, it is subject to khums at the end of the khums year.
I see.
And of course, it is not obligatory to pay khums. It is khums in the following cases, according to His Eminence. Number one, if after paying it is khums, the income earned by using the rest of the capital is not enough for living expenses, in this case, it's not obligatory to pay khums. And then number two, if after paying its khums, the business to be managed with the rest of the capital is not compatible with his station as per common people, or he doubts whether this is the case or not, in this case, khums is not payable.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on iranradio.ir with me, Muhammad Javad, the host of this program. We bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا